Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April the 12th. And welcome to our commentary. Well, I think the big story, it's in the news everywhere, is that there could be a major confrontation here very soon between Iran and Israel. This is a confrontation that could be very deadly for the region. What we're hearing is that Iran may be attacking Israel, and what we're hearing from Israel is that they're going to retaliate in a very harsh way. And, you know, I guess I believe both of them, you know, I believe both of them. Iran wants to retaliate for the killing of one of their top people, and the Israelis are dead serious when they say they're going to retaliate quite strongly. So we'll see. We'll see where all of this goes. But wherever it goes, it's not good for the region. And it may involve the United States, not directly, but, you know, there may be some attacks on American interests from some of the Iranian subsidiary groups. So this thing could really get out of control and become a regional battle, unlike we've seen in quite some time. We have not seen a big Middle East war like that involving Israel for quite some time. So we're hoping for the best. But in the Middle East, the best is often a difficult thing to find or a difficult thing to see. So stay tuned, as they say, to your favorite news channel, because there could be some very big stories developing between these two countries over the next few weeks. I had a post a couple of days ago talking about NPR, and I've got another one coming out tomorrow. There's an article in the New York Times about a high degree of turmoil inside NPR, and that's because, as you may remember, there was an editor, an inside editor, this editor, over at NPR, who wrote a very critical article about the organization, basically talking about the lack of diversity, the lack of intellectual and political diversity in the organization. I mean, they've got a lot of diversity, if by that you mean gender and ethnic group and all of that. They've got a lot of diversity of that kind. But what they don't have, frankly, is a lot of opinion diversity. They have too many news people who think the same way and, as he points out in his article, vote the same way. And that's not a healthy thing for any organization, in particular, a news organization. So there's a lot of concern within NPR that, you know, there could be some problems coming. I think you are going to see many Republicans in the Senate and in the House call for a reduction of funding for NPR. I think a lot of them are going to say, you know, why are we funding this group? You know, why are we funding basically an organization that is so or lacks so much political diversity? And I'm surprised nobody at NPR realized what they were getting into. But, you know, people like me who used to watch NPR years ago or listen to NPR and follow PBS, I've seen the difference. I don't have to read an article to see the difference. I've seen the difference in the coverage of NPR and PBS. One of my most favorite shows used to be the NewsHour every night. I used to watch that on PBS, you know, McNeil, whatever their names are, McNeil and Lair. And that was a great show. That was a fantastic show. It was as complete as any show on television. But those days are gone. Those days are gone. I mean, there's a one-sided view of the world that you get at NPR and definitely at PBS on that NewsHour. Even the Washington Week in Review. I remember that was a pretty decent show at one time. I don't even know what they have at the moment. But the bottom line is that there's turmoil at NPR, according to the article, and I've got a post about this coming out Saturday morning. There should be turmoil at NPR. If you're gonna project yourself as a news organization and you're gonna be funded by public funds, the very least you can do is realize that not all of the country hates Trump as much as you do. I mean, we're a very divided country, very polarized country, and apparently NPR doesn't believe that. They think everybody hates Trump, and that's what their coverage has been. And the sad thing about all of this, I'm sure there are some very good reporters at NPR, just like they are in many other organizations. CNN, for example, has some good, capable people, but they've destroyed the brand so much by tilting so much in one direction that I don't know if they'll survive. I'm not sure if NPR is going to survive, particularly if the Congress goes after them and starts cutting funds. I don't think that, honestly, they're going to survive. So we'll keep an eye on it, but check out my post about NPR coming out Saturday morning. Speaking of American Thinker, I had a post Friday morning about the elections in Mexico. As you know, the elections will be happening on the June 2nd. And by all accounts, it looks like Claudia Sheinbaum is going to be elected. She's a lady of Hungarian descent. I think her grandmother or her grandparents were from Hungary. And then, of course, she was born in Mexico. And she is going to be very likely the next president of Mexico. So it would be the first time that a woman becomes president of Mexico. She comes in with some very serious challenges. So it's not going to be an easy job for her. But she is going to win in large part because of the incredible political organization of the incumbent president, López Obrador. But I watched the debate, or not live, but I've watched the clips of the debate, the rerun of the debate. And frankly, I was not very impressed with any of the candidates. There's two major candidates. I wasn't impressed with the two. There's two women who are running for president, and I wasn't very impressed with either one of them. I thought that Claudia Sheinbaum came across as what she is, a bureaucratic person, more of a scientist, more of a technical person. And then the opposition leader, the accommodation of different opposition parties, her last name is Galvis. And I didn't think she came across very serious, frankly. She had a couple of good lines, but I don't think she came across in a very serious way. So I expect that Claudia Sheinbaum will be the next president of Mexico, and the incumbent party will continue in power. What that means for Mexico and the United States, I don't know. I don't know. As I say, the violence in Mexico, the cartels, the border situation, you know, it's not healthy. And the next president is going to have to make some tough calls. We just hope that it happens. Also, it depends a lot on who wins the election up here. If President Trump is elected up here, I think that there will be, Mexico will have to deal with a totally different person than Joe Biden right now, with whom, frankly, I don't know what Joe Biden is doing with respect to the border and with respect to Mexico. There doesn't seem to be much interest, frankly, on the part of the Biden administration to do anything about this crazy border. But obviously that would change if President Trump was in the White House. There is a group, I heard about this, there's a group, I think it was in Seattle, a dancing group that went to some event, and a bunch of people were offended by the American flag. It looks like this, and I think there are some pictures on the internet about this. Some group, this group apparently wears the flag as part of their presentation, their attire, I guess. They don't wear the flag, but I mean, they have the colors of the flag and the hat. I mean, very patriotic kind of look. And apparently some people were offended by this. They basically told them that some people were triggered by the sight of the flag. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, you don't like the American flag? You don't like people, you know, honoring the American flag? What are you doing in the United States? I mean, that's my feeling. If you don't like the American flag, you know, there's plenty of airports. Take one and go to another country. I mean, this is insane. The lack of patriotism, and frankly, what we're doing to the country and its traditions by mocking the American flag. It's the flag of the United States. If you don't like it, hey, take a hike. Take it somewhere else, because we don't like people here who don't like the flag. I mean, we can disagree politically. That's fine. You know, we can, you know, disagree and have harsh disagreements. That's fine. But the American flag is everybody's flag, and that's the one that has to be respected and has to be flown above everything else. And if you don't like that flag, you know, go to the airport. There's plenty of flights, and you can leave the country anytime you like. Let me leave you with On This Day in History, 1945, April 12th, 1945. Much of the country learned today, later in the afternoon, that President Roosevelt had passed away. He was in Georgia. And he began to feel very sick around midday, and eventually by 3:30, he had passed away. And of course, shortly after that, President Harry Truman, or Vice President Harry Truman, became president of the United States. And then it was up to President Truman, newly elected, and frankly, nobody knew who he was. People were saying, Harry who? I mean, nobody knew who the man was. But it was up to him to finish the job in Europe in the war, and then, of course, to finish the war against Japan and make some of the most incredible and difficult political decisions, like dropping the atomic bomb and so on. Later, what came to be known as the Truman Doctrine was pretty much the guiding foreign policy doctrine of much of the period between the war and the collapse of the Soviet Union. So Harry Truman, the man who nobody knew anything about, became president today, 1945, and turned out to be a very consequential president of the 20th century. Harry Truman, who was born in Missouri, and they have a great library in Missouri, if you're in that area, absolutely fabulous library with all his papers and everything else. The Truman Library, in many ways, I don't know if that was the first library, but definitely one of the more interesting ones to visit and to learn and take your kids to. It's an absolutely amazing source of history. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.